As I always say, I invite you, I encourage you, if you would, be sure to open up your Bibles, follow along with me here this evening, so that we can all be rest assured that the things that are said and taught are found in God's Word, and that they're not being taken out of context, I should add, in that respect. And as we look into God's Word, I pray that you will allow this very hour that God's Word to have its way with your heart as we look into it. For there's no greater love than to open your heart up and give it to the Lord, because he loved us so bountifully. This evening, I'm going to talk briefly on a quick lesson. We've oftentimes heard this said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Yes? That's what we're going to talk about this evening. I appreciate Brother Corey's prayers, because they're very heartfelt and sincere, and it's definitely exhorting one to come to the Lord, come to Jesus while you have the time and opportunity. We're going to first take a look at the throne of God, and the Lamb shall be in it. Yes, let us always be mindful who is over all. Our Lord and Savior is over all. He is on that throne, the Lamb, as he's oftentimes referred to. And this should be perhaps one of the greatest interests to all believers. Talk about that wonderful, beautiful Lamb of God that gave himself for us. So we're seeking an eternal rest. You know, we work all of our lives, don't we? And we're trying to look forward to that time of retirement. The time of what we think, sorry about that, is rest. But it's not truly rest. Our true rest comes with the Lord. And that we'll be there. Yes, we'll be there before that mighty throne. And we are like marked ones. As you look at the great Olympics, the archery competition, you want to be on the mark. And I hope and pray that's your desire too, that you want to be shooting in the right direction, looking earnestly at that target. And that target should be heaven. And in Revelation 22 and verse 3, a wonderful verse, it says, "And there," talking about heaven, "shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants." Yes, I've said many times I do not understand the spiritual realm, but I will one day, and so will you. And I hope and pray that in the spiritual realm that we can be there with God. So, as we consider, John remembers perhaps his earlier days as he talks about another John. As we see in John 1 and verse 25, John's writing here, he says, "The next day, John," and the John he's referring to is John the Baptist, of course. So, "The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Yes. You know, we can talk about a great many blessings, can't we? We're a blessed people in this nation, but the greatest blessing of all is to have our sins washed. There is nothing any finer than that, to know that you are right in the sight of God. So wonderful it would. John the Baptist struck a note which vibrated throughout the whole life of John. You know, John, I always think of him as being John the writer of love, you know, because he did write about all the love of God. But anyway, as in Patmos, John recalls his early impressions as an old men delight in the scenes and sayings of their youth. I can just see old John talking out here. Oh, I remember that day when I was down there and I see John the Baptist. And he sees this one coming to him. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." I remember that. That was a wonderful day, you know, reminiscing of the old times. So Jesus had lamb-like qualities. And I talk about this fairly often because of all the sheep I have across my road, but it is a precious thing to stop and think that our Lord and Savior has such a, like a lamb. As we consider in Isaiah 40, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd." And he does, doesn't he? Jesus feeds us just like the good shepherd does to his sheep. "And he shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those." We oftentimes sing, "Where can I go?" And we had a lesson on that reason. Well, where can we go? But to that good shepherd, that Lamb of God. We also see in Matthew 15, verse 32. Matthew 15, we see there. "Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they should faint." You know, Jesus is always thinking about it. He is. Just like as the day that he was there feeding the 5,000. Jesus is always thinking about you because he gave himself. He loves you. And as we continue here, but this lamb had to take on to himself the sins of the world. You know, Jesus tells us, "Hey, Paul, you need to bear." Wow, my Lord. You talk about a burden. I can't even begin to imagine that. Even to the point where his father couldn't even put his eyes on him. Gave himself for our sins. Matthew 26, verse 39, and went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I will." I can only slightly imagine the anguish Jesus had at that time, bearing the burdens of the sins of the world, so that we might have hope of redemption. We might have our sins washed away, that we might have life eternal in heaven with him. Wow. Jesus knew this was his sacrifice to provide a way for all of mankind to avoid the death brought about by sin that we carry in our life. Jesus understood this was going to have to be the price. And you think that the Lord asked to. That's nothing in comparison. So, there I go, saying that again. Living under the law of Moses, everyone knew, was very much aware, that every morning and every evening a lamb was sacrificed in the tabernacle. A beautiful, gentle morning and evening sacrificed in that temple. Not that it did anything, it just pushed it forward, but every morning and evening, a beautiful little lamb. And yes, they do sound much like a baby crying, especially when they're young. It was brought to the priest, and his precious warm blood was made to flow throughout that pain of sacrifice. And it was offered there on that altar. In much the same way, Jesus himself took the very silences like a lamb going to slaughter. He took that silence to the cross. He was passive. He wasn't combative. He was submissive when they nailed him on that cross. I don't know about you, but if they were stringing me up on the cross, I'm sure I'd be kicking and screaming and carrying on. No. He knew that there's no other way but that way. A lamb going to slaughter. Also, there he hung. Men heckling him, jeering him, till at last the son could not bear the sight of that scene any longer. Veiled his face, and the earth could no more endure to be the stage for such a tragedy. It began to rock and shake and reel. The very dead were stirred as though they could not slumber in their graves anymore. They up from the grave, they arose. Darkness covered the earth, even during the daytime. So, the events of the Lamb's crucifixion. Let's take a minute. Let's stop and look at this. In Matthew 27, verses 50 through 54, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Yes, the sacrifice. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. And they came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things which were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Can you imagine? What a day. So, as we behold the throne as seen from the Lamb, the Lamb is God in front between man and God. He's there. Remember Exodus 12 and 13. As Egypt was not the Pharaoh of Egypt, wasn't it? And God placed various plagues upon him. And as we see in verse 13 of chapter 12, there's another plague upon him. And they're told, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses ye are, where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land. His blood upon that cross was given so that the angel of death would pass over, would not experience the death. Egyptians and those in Pharaoh's time. In Revelation 5, verses 6 through 8, we're told there, when I saw, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. That's my Lord, you know. Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them in golden vials full of which are the prayers of the... Yes, the Lamb. What a beautiful sight. On the throne. Not just on the throne, but he has all power. And, as we see in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Matthew 28, 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe what? All things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until, behold, the Lamb of God. As we consider, God has highly exalted. As we consider in Philippians 2, 9 through 13. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, talking about Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, all things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in both in you both to will and to do his good. We need to work out our salvation. And I know work is not a nice word. I like to hear. We must work at getting our salvation, or receiving our salvation, if we're but faithful unto him. So, as we consider, come to the throne of the Lamb, and it's the throne of God. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all you need according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. Yes, of Isaiah 12. God has not changed, but Christ has changed. You know, God has always loved us. I've said this many times from the pulpit, and I can't say it enough. God has loved us. Did he make anyone else look like him? Give them his image? The beasts, the fowl, the air, the fishes? No. We were made in his image. It's in us he gave us a spirit, which will return back to him someday. As we see in Revelation 1, 17 through 18, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Yes, we must remember, when you come to the throne of God, the Lamb in this rightful place. Let me ask you one simple question. Could you feel at home in heaven without the Lamb of God? Think about that for a moment. It wouldn't be heaven, would it, if God, the Lamb, was not there? So, Revelation 22, 3 through 6. Looking at heaven there, that there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for it. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful. Yes, all of God's word is true. We must recognize that. But especially the scene of the throne, the scene of salvation, heaven itself. So, as we consider, behold the Lamb of God. I don't believe, maybe focus as much as we should some upon that Lamb of God. We think it's just a story, some people. I know one young man, that's all he thinks this Bible is. It's just a story. Can't convince him otherwise. But it's God's word. God's word to you. And for us to be mindful of what a gift we have. He is the Lamb of God. If there's anyone here who's not obeyed the gospel and put Jesus Christ on in baptism, I'd like to encourage you to do while there's time and opportunity. If you have put him on in the past, but maybe the way has gone weary for you, and you've kind of maybe taken a little bit different route. Maybe you're not as close with him. Maybe you're one of those sheep that's gone astray. He's calling you back. If you need help, he will help you. Once you return to him while there's still time and opportunity, be happy to pray for you, pray with you if you would. Come forward while together we stand and sing, Zion Call.